To Yom Kippur, which is Havah Aleinu L'Tovah, coming up in just a couple of days. Yom HaKippurim, many names for Yom Kippur, Tzom HaAsar, Shvisas Asar. So what you have in front of you is the first half of a Shabbat Shuvah Drash I gave a couple years ago. Usually I spend the first half hour plus on Lamdas and the second hour plus on Machshava from the Lamdas. So we'll see how far we get. But at least we'll try to do the Lamdas part of it, the Machshava. It's Machshava Lamdas related. And we'll talk about it there for Yonah. Just the words, I just want this tonight's shiur to be Larichos Yom Vashana. My father's birthday is tomorrow night. So I want to dedicate my father's 85 tomorrow night. So Be'ez Hashem, he should, I may have asked from Shana that he should be Zocha to this, to many more years. Okay, so we'll start off with the Mishnah and Megillah. The Mishnah tells us the Maseches Megillah, as we know, all the leanings, and the Gemara. The Mishnah and the Gemara go through all the leanings of the year. So, what do you lean A? What do you lean B? What do you lean a Chanukah? By the way, one of the eight places that Chanukah appears in Mishnayos, even though Hilchos Chanukah aren't there, but it's one of them in Megillah. So, on Yom Kippur, we lean from Achremos, and of course, by Mincha, we lean Arayos from Parshas Achremos and Maftir Yonah. After Yonah, one of the most expensive aliyahs of the entire year. But that's unique. And the question is, it's interesting that Rashi and Tosfos both feel the need to explain why we lean Arayos by Mincha. Now, what does Arayos have to do with Yom Kippur? Out of all the Averis, why do we have to lean the Arayos? So Rashi says that Arayos Avera Mitsuya, it's very common. Right, a person desires them. Tosva says, well, the women dress nicely on Yom Kippur, so you got to make sure that you stay, you know, they're all wearing white and nice. Okay, they don't say a word about Yonah. As if it's obvious. As if, I don't have to tell you how why we'll lean to Yonah, because that you know. Barashi and Tosva's comment, again, in source number 2 or 3, Megillah there, Daf Lamed Aleph, about Arayos, but not about Yonah. So the question is, what is it? What is it about Yonah? And maybe it's a little deeper than we might have thought before we start this year. So if you look into Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef quotes from earlier sources in Tafresh Chafes, Mafter b'Yonah lefi sheyesh b'godel koach hatshuva. Because Yonah is about tshuva. Yonah is about tshuva. Who did tshuva in Yonah? As we'll see, there's a simple answer to that and maybe a little deeper answer to that. But the Beis Yosef does not quote who he is referring to. If you look in the Abu Dram, one of the great Rishonim, says the reason we read the Haftorah is to teach the world She'ein Adam Yachol Levroach Mepnei Hashem Imam Avar Averis. You can't run away from God. Hashem wants you to do something. You can't run away. Can't run away. We'll review the story in a minute, but you can't run away. Kemosha Kasuv, Ana Elech Miruchacha, Ana Mipanech Evrach. Where should I run? Emesak Shemayim, Sham Ata, Vatzia Sho'irach. Hashem, you're up, you're down. Right, you can't run away. And the question is Yonah the best story about somebody trying to hide from God? Is it the first story in history? We have to go to Yonah? We have to go to the Treyasar to get to a story about running from Hashem? If I would ask you, anybody earlier in history try to run away from Hashem? Try to hide from Hashem? How about Adam? How about Adam? You know, that would have been number one. We have to go to Yonah? So what's the message? It must be something deeper about Yonah. About his running away. And finally, if you look in the Abu Dram is dealing with not just why we lean Yonah on Yom Kippur, but why is Yonah in Kisvei HaKodesh at all? Yonah is a story about a city of non-Jews doing tshuva. Right, remember the story? Let's review it for a minute. Hashem tells Yonah, the city of Nineveh, which is the capital of Ashur, you know, is, you know, they're terrible, they have to do tshuva, and in another month, if they don't do tshuva, I'm going to destroy them. And Yonah is not interested, and he disappears. And a little bit later, you know the story, runs away, swallowed by the whale, spit out, Hashem tells him again, Yonah, you got to go tell Nineveh. He goes to tell Nineveh, they do tshuva. Fine. And then something strange in Perek Dalet, we're not getting into that part of it right now. But that's the story. So why does that deserve to be in Tanakh? Right. There are nevuos of what's going to happen to Ashur, and what's going to happen to Mitzrayim, and what's going to happen to Seir. But a story about a nation of non-Jews, why was that Zoche, that story of Yonah? I mean, Yonah was amazing. Yonah was a Talmud, I think, of Elisha, or Elio, I don't remember which one. I think it was Elisha. The question is, why was Yonah in Tanakh? So the Radak gives three answers. The Radak on the first pasuk in Yonah, source number six. Yesh l'shol. Lama nechtav a nevuah zu b'kisvei HaKodesh. V'kulal Nineveh. Shaisa miyumos ha'olam. Right, Nineveh was the capital. The Shabbos before Corona. The Shabbos before Corona, I was in London for a few days for the yeshiva. I gave shirim all over. So that, right before, that Thursday, I went to the British Museum. I went with my wife. So we had one of the Rebbetzins in the neighborhood. She's a tour guide there. She just took us around. So one of the big rooms there is Ashur. If you ever go Bezrem on the way back after Corona, you stop by there. You bring a Tanakh there, you get a guide. It's unbelievable. You can spend 3 weeks there. But Ashur, like a whole room of Ashur. You just take a Tanakh, you read, and they have everything. They have everything there. They have stuff from Bavel and Mitzrayim and. And I went there a few times ago. I was there, Parshas Bo, and I dafka went into the Egypt room, and there was a Talmud that was taking me around. I said, "Is it interesting? You see any Egyptians here? You see any Babylonians in the Babylonian room? You see any Greeks in the Greek room? Is there any Romans in the Roman room? There are Hebrews in this room. We're the only nation. You see all this thousands of years of history." The other one's still around. We're still looking at this. But anyway, what does that do with that? So there's a huge thing of Nineveh. Nineveh, and has fish, and that was the capital city of Ashur. That was the major before Bavel. Right? Bavel conquered it. But anyway, say ask the Radak. It's all about Nineveh. There's nothing in all of Sifrei Tanakh that's like this. A whole story about a bunch of non-Jews. Nothing against non-Jews, but Tanakh is related to the Jews. V'nuchal lafarish, three answers. Number one, ki nechtav lios musar liyisrael, sha'ari am nachri she'enam yisrael ha'ikar v'l'tshuva. Right, what is it? A am nachri. How are you? Nice to see you. Am nachri, a nation of non-Jews did tshuva, and the first time that the Navi was mochiach them, they did tshuva shlema. V'hashkim v'arev, enam shal, and now, and you read Yeshayo, Yirmiyo. The Nevi'im are talking to us from morning till night. We don't do a thing. You can learn from them. Reason number one, a whole nation to model to us to do tshuva. Number one. Number two, va'od lahodiyah ha'pela ha'gadol sh'asa ha'kel yisbrach im ha'navi she'i b'mei ha'dag gimel yom ha'gimel leilos v'chai. The nisim that took place. He lived in the whale for 3 days. Vo'od she'ki ha'dag, and then the dog spit him out, didn't eat him. Unbelievable nisim, and it flows. Number three, V'od l'lamei shahakel yispar chomel al ba'alei tshuva me'eza am sheyu. Hashem has rachmanis on ba'alei tshuva no matter which nation they're from. Umochel lohem and forgives them. V'kol shegeng shein rabim, surely when they're rabim. What's the difference between answer number one and answer number three? Both pretty similar. Answer number one, a whole nation does tshuva and we don't listen. Answer three, Hashem has rachmanis and takes tshuva from a rabim. Is there something deeper behind those two answers, and how does that relate to the middle answer? So that's really question number one. What does Yonah have to do with Yom Kippur? Why is it the most appropriate? What are the deeper messages about it? And maybe hidden here in this Radak is a secret that we'll come to. Next, number two. Often the Haftorah relates to the Kriya. That's what's supposed to happen. Right, there was a time period in history when we weren't allowed to lane, so we just lay Navi. And once that stopped, but we still lay in the Haftorah. Is there a connection between Yonah and Arayos? Arayos is the Kriya by Mincha, and Yonah is the Haftorah by Mincha. Question two. That the Rishonim don't deal with. Question three. The Mishnah at the end of Yoma, last Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, the optimist of the Tanaim. Always the optimist. Ashreichem Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva, who lived 100 years after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Remember the generation he lived in? They were probably, every time Yom Kippur rolled around, right? They probably still smelled the ashes of the Beis HaMikdash. Imagine how Yom Kippur was, right? No Kohen Gadol, no Ptores. What a depressing Yom Kippur. Just going to daven. Rabbi Akiva says, Ashreichem Yisrael. You know what? Hashem's the mikvah. You got Hashem. You don't need a Beis HaMikdash. Bekiva is always optimistic. Every story in Shas, I'm sure you can think of five right now. But he's always, but this is Lashitaso. Lifnei mi atem mitar, mi mitar eschem, avichem sheba shamayim, Hashem is going to be mitar you, shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, v'zarakti aleichamayim tahorim utahartem, mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Just like a mikveh is mitar as a temeyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitar as Yisrael. Question, is there a difference why the Lashon here used is zrika? Zrika, we know sometimes the Kohen has to be Zor, like Tumas Mace. He sprinkles the ashes of the Paraduma. On a Machshava level, what's the difference between Zrika and Tevila? Two ways of being Mitaher, ourselves. A Mikvah and Zrika, we might need both for Tumas Mace. But is there a message about Zrika and Tara?
We can potentially say that. Mikvah you do yourself in a way, like
you. Okay, good. Beautiful. Rav Soloveitchik has an article about that difference between whether you could do it, you could jump in a mikvah yourself while Zrika needs someone else. Maybe we'll have another idea as well as we continue. Finally, the last question. If you look in the Bnei Yisachar, in source number 8, it's also, if you open up the, yeah? Okay. Okay, the Zrika also sometimes becomes the people involved in the become Tama. It's not the difference. Tara, there's no Tama. That's true. If you look in your Siddur, Musaf on Rosh Chodesh, there's usually like a line, and under the line, there's all these like Kabbalistic stuff going on, like all these, if you look like 12 and things, you have to have Kavana when you say these words, every Rosh Chodesh. So if you look on the bottom, all it is different configurations of the name of Hashem that Kabbalistically you're supposed to think about. Yud Kei Vav Kei. How many configurations? A basic, whatever it's called. I don't know. It's not geometry. I know that. But it's basic math, and I'm figuring out all the configurations of Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hey Vav, Hey Yud, all the different. So there's a different one to think about every Rosh Chodesh. So the Rosh Chodesh for Elul, the month of Tshuva, is Hey Hey Vav Yud, says the Bnei Yisachar. Hey Hey Vav Yud, which is the end of a pasuk, that it's the Sofei Tevos of a pasuk in Dvarim, which we'll see the whole pasuk later. Utstaka Tihye Lanu Ki. And it should be righteousness and staka for us because. We'll get to the because later, what the whole pasuk is. But again, it's a Kabbalistic idea, but we'll try to bring it down to earth. What exactly is the message for us with the Hey Hey Vav Yud, and what does that pasuk specifically have to do with the month of Elul? So what's Yonah about? Does it connect to the Kriya, Zrika and Tefillah, and the Hey Hey Vav Yud? But again, the Iker is going to be the first question. So let's talk about Yonah. Let's talk about Yonah. And the major question that the Rishonim already deal with is, what in the world was Yonah thinking? Yonah was a Navi. He really thinks he's going to run away and not have to do this. Again, this bothered the Rishonim. What was Yonah thinking? So the Medrash tells us, and remember the story. I didn't give you the story, but remember the... I have it here. Right, Hashem says to Yonah, "Kum leichal ninve ha'ir agdola v'kara alek yikalsa rasim lefanai." Yonah runs to Tarshish. Vayered yafo v'yimsa aniyah. He finds a boat. He pays for the whole boat. And the Chazal say that it was a big boat. He was waiting for passengers, like 100 passengers. He was the only passenger. He pays the whole fare for all 100. He's like, just take me across. He goes, he's there. And then there was then what happens, there's the storm, and the sailors, like, what's going on? They all start screaming, and all of a sudden they do this goro, and it falls on Yonah, and Yonah's like, it's my fault. The chulu, and he continues, and finally they throw him off, and there's no more storm, and they all get nervous. We'll read the psukim a little bit later, and Yonah gets swallowed up, and the story continues. So again, what was Yonah thinking? He's a Navi. Hashem tells him to do something. So the Medrash tells us, he was running to Chutz La'aretz, because there's no Nevuah in Chutz La'aretz. I'm going to go to a place where there's no Wi-Fi. Right, I'm going to go to a place, I'll have an excuse, I can't answer my phone, because I'm like out in some teal somewhere. No signal. He's going to go to a place with no signal, no divine signal. That's what the Medrash says. Kach HaMayona, Eilech Leilu Chutz La'aretz. Why? And here we get to it. Shagoyim krovei tshuvahein. He knew Nineveh was going to do tshuva. And that's going to make the Jews look really bad. And ultimately that was his motivation. So I'm going to run to Chutz La'aretz so that they don't do tshuva and make my nation look bad. And then the Mefarshim's like, Farshim say, okay, but you know what? That's terrible. There's an Issa Daraisa called Navi Shekovesh Nivuaso. The example, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin tells us, source number 10 on the top of the next page. Navi Shekovesh Nivuaso. Misaso Bidei Shamayim. What's an example of Kovesh Nivuaso? Gemara, Peitesim and Aleph, Sanhedrin, Kagon, Yonah ben Amitai. He's the example of Kovesh Nivuaso. Hashem gave him a nevuah to give, and he didn't give it. So there are many suggestions given to try to defend his actions. The Malbim says, well, maybe originally, if you're medayik in the words, Hashem tells him, go to Nineveh and give him a musar shmuz. So that wasn't really a nevuah yet, says the Malbim. That was kind of just instruction. So you don't listen to God, but wasn't a nevuah. You didn't listen to Hashem because you didn't want the Jews to look bad. Says the Malbim. Shemaya sholcho binyin kazeh loyora divrei Hashem. Right, if it was a nevuah, he wouldn't violate. Chas v'shalom. Shenavi akavi shivazo chayim isa. Rakam alei. Karol astam. He says, call to them. Yikra baznam divrei musar v'tochacha. The second time, Hashem says, the nevuah. The first time, though, he thought it was not kovish nevuaso. That's the Malbim's suggestion. And others give it too. The Rebbe Bachai also says this. And others. The Menachas Chinuch has an unbelievable Chiddush based on this story in Source 14. Does it say anywhere in the Torah that you're not allowed to be Kovish Nevuaso? You get punished for it. But does that mean it's usher? Every time you get something that you have to do, does that mean you did something wrong? I borrow money from you. I have to pay you money. Did I do anything wrong? I did something that was mechayiv of me to pay you. So maybe Kovish Nevuaso is not an Aveira, doesn't say anywhere that it's Aser, it says the Menachas Chinuch. The Efshar, the Zehoyatam Yonah. The Chas V'Shalom Shei Yonah Navi Yavar Aveira Neged Ratzon Hashem Yisparach, says the Menachas Chinuch, Chas V'Shalom, that Yonah would do such a thing. Ela De'ein Zeneged Ratzono Rak Magia Onesh. It's not against his Ratzon, you're just going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it. Right, it doesn't mean it's Aser. The Yonah Navi Yisparach L'Tovas Yisrael. As we know, he was for the Tovas Yisrael. Okay. The Chida. Maybe only a nevuah that has to do with Jews is Kovish Nevuaso. All these different suggestions that it wasn't really Kovish Nevuaso. What's the problem with all these suggestions? The Gemara says he was Kovish Nevuaso. The Gemara says it. So Pashas, you have to say exactly what the Medrash says. He was Kovish Nevuaso and he violated. L'tovas Yisrael, because he was Moser Nefesh, Mamish. The Gemara talks about different sugyas. Chate b'shul shiyiska chaverecha. Are you allowed to sin in order to be mezake your friend? And the Medrash says, turn over, that he followed the lead of people before him. Go to 16. Rabbi Nassan Omer, Lo halach Yonah elo la'abed atzmo bayam. Yonah went to commit suicide. La'abed atzmo bayam. Forget it. I'm not doing this. This is going to make the Jews look bad. Shenemar. Vayomar lehem se'uni v'atiluni alayam. Throw me in. V'chein tim sa'avos v'anevim. Hayinosan atzmo Yisrael. Moshe. What does Moshe say? Hashem, if you don't forgive them, just wipe me out. If you forgive them, great. But if not, mecheni nimesifrach asher kasavta. Just erase me. Erase me. B'moshe omer v'ata im tisa chad asam im ayim mecheni nimesifrach asher kasavta. Im kach asor li harkeni no harog. David. Right, Shmuel. They were almost a nefesh, so Yonah followed suit. Right, Yonah followed suit. There's even a Tosfos in Bava Basra, those were here last year, about the Mekoshesh, maybe with Slavcha, Nidav did it in order to help out the Jews at the time. But Yonah was L'Shem Shamayim, and he was Kavish Nebu also. So how does this connect to Tshuva, though? If that's the essence of Yonah, how does this connect to Tshuva? And how did Yonah do Tshuva? How exactly did Yonah do tshuva? If this is a book about tshuva. So if you look in Source 18, Rav Rivlin in a Sefer on Yonah, writes, Moshe and Yirmiyo also didn't want to go. Remember? Parshas Shmos, Hashem ultimately gets angry at Moshe. Moshe, could you go and take the Jews? No. Can you please? No, they don't deserve it. Can you please? No, I have a speech impediment. My brother Aaron, it would be a better choice. I mean, until Hashem gets angry, enough already. And Yirmiyo didn't want to go. So Rav Rivlin is dealing with what's the difference between Moshe and Yirmiyo, who are not taken to task by Chazal, and Yonah. So he quotes three differences between Yonah and Moshe and Yirmiyo. Nachon, gam Moshe v'Yirmiyo sirvu l'kabel nevuah. Number one, Yirmiyo and Moshe, it was before, basically, they took the job. Come on, be my Navi. Go redeem the Jews. No. You can have somebody else. I don't want the position. Yirmiyo saw what was going to be. You got to feel bad for Yirmiyo. I mean, his nevuahs were just all, rove, almost all, were like terrible. He asked Hashem, why me? They tried to kill him three times. They threw him in quicksand. The king threw him in quicksand. He was about to die until somebody pulled him out. So Yirmiyo, I need this. Yirmiyo Moshe, but it was both that at the beginning of it. It's like, I don't want the job. Yonah was already Yonah Hanavi. We don't know too many nevuahs that he had. But he was already a Navi. Lu'umatamaya Yonah Navi Mishakvar. Ubrichaso atahi netishas maracha b'itzuma. He was running away from his present position. He already had the job. You have the job already. What are you doing? Number one. Number two. Gam Moshe v'gam Yirmiyo kiblu b'sofa shel davar ziras Hashem. Ultimately, they went. Hashem twisted their arm, but they went. They didn't do anything against Ratzon Hashem. And Yonah obviously did. Yonah lo'asa noket sa'adim ma'asiyim u'mamashiyim. Number three, and this is unbelievable. I didn't catch this. You don't catch it until it's pointed out. Moshe and Yirmiyo had a conversation with God. I don't want to do it. No, not for me. Take this excuse and that excuse and Aaron. Look back at the story. Please, sometimes before Yom Kippur, maybe Shabbos afternoon, just read the story of Yonah. It's fascinating. Hashem says to Yonah, go to Nineveh. What's the next pasuk? Yonah leaves. Not a word. Yonah doesn't say a word. And what happens? He goes on to the Vayechem Yonah Baruch Tarshisha. He finds a boat. He pays the boat driver. Hashem makes a big storm. Everybody's screaming and doing, Where's Yonah? He goes down and he goes to sleep. That's the pasuk says. For Yonah, the sailors are screaming and trying to keep the boat from sinking. The Yonah Yarad al Yarkase Asvina Vayishka Vayirta. Goes to take a nap. It's unbelievable. Vayikra Vaylav Rava Chovel. Vayomer Lo. Ma Lecha Nirdam. What are you sleeping for? The captain comes to Yonah. That's something that a Navi usually says. It's not said to the Navi. Wake up! Kum kra l'lokecha. Call to your God. Yonah still doesn't say a word. What are the first words Yonah says in all of Sefer Yonah? He didn't say a word to Hashem. He didn't say a word to the captain. And they said, let's have a goro. And they do the goro once, twice, three times. It falls on Yonah. And finally they say, Yonah, who are you? Before we get to his answer. The problem with Yonah, the third chiluk, Moshe Yirmiyahu talked. Yonah didn't say a word. That was the root of the problem. Not that he was Kovish Nevuaso specifically. He was L'shem Shamayim. But what is the root of Kovish Nevuaso? You think about it in a deeper way. I'll say in a second. Rav Schechter has, in Be'ikve Hatzon, I only gave you one line from it, but if you've never seen it, go look in page Kuf Lamed Hey. What's the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim? He talks about where Tanakh comes from. It's based on Gemara Megillah. Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So Ksuvim were meant to be written down. That's why they call it Ksuvim. Nevi'im is meant to be given over to the people. Navi, what is the word Navi? Niv Sfatayim, an expression of the lips. That's the essence of a Navi, to talk, to tell people, to inspire people, to say things. That's the Mahus of a Navi. You know the problem with Yonah is? He wasn't true to himself. He didn't do what his essence was to do. He didn't say a word. That was the problem. Until somebody says to him, wake up! The captain says to him, wake up! So it's not just that he was running away from Hashem. He was running away from who he needed to be. And who he was supposed to be. And that's what Yom Kippur is about. Yom Kippur is a day that we stop running away from ourselves. And we start figuring out who we're meant to be and getting in touch with who we really are. Yonah ben Amittai. The MS. Right? Going to the root of who we are. And maybe that's the kesher of Arayos. Arayos, we always say Gilui Arayos, Legalos. That's the bad type of uncovering and revealing. Yonah, the Tikkun, was when he finally uncovered who he really was. What are the first words that Yonah says? Right? Denny Freeman made it into a song. Vayomer Aleihem, Ivri Anochi, Ve'ez Hashem Elokei Hashamayim Ani Yareh. I'm a Jew and I'm proud. And however else it goes. Asher Asad Yamasa Yabasha. Finally, he starts talking. And that's his coming and doing tshuva. That was Yonah's tshuva. Coming back to who he really is. We're probably not going to get to the second half. I just mentioned one line from the second half, the machshava part of it. I read this somewhere. Why do you cry when you peel an onion? Because your eyes, and don't give me a scientific answer. Why do you cry when you peel an onion? Because the onion has so many layers. And our neshama recognizes that we have so many layers. And we're recognizing that we have to peel off all those layers. Nice chassidish of art. But you can't say that to a scientist. But either way, that's the legalos arayos, that's the negative. Yonah's tshuva was the proper gilui. Next, that's not the only tshuva in the Sefer. The most obvious tshuva in the Sefer is the city of Nineveh. The city of Nineveh does tshuva. This is part two. Part two. Again, we're not doing everything, but the Shaar HaTzion quotes this. I mean, just read the Shaar HaTzion. The Shaar HaTzion is usually the Mishnah Berurah just giving Mar Makomos. But here, in Hilchos Yom Kippur, the Shaar HaTzion says, why do we read Yonah? You can't run away from who you are. 21. I can't do it. I give up. You're going to do it. You have to fulfill your tafkid. That's all number one. Okay. Part two, out of three. Tshuva of Nineveh. Right, the Machzor Vitri, one of the Sfarim for the Beis Medrash of Rashi, source 22. We read Yonah because of the tshuva of the people of Nineveh. There seems to be a Machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi about the tshuva of Nineveh, which we'd rather not say. Because we'd rather not say it's a Machlokas and Metzias. The Bavli says that the tshuva of Nineveh was unbelievable, was great. It's brought as an example of people who really changed their lives. The Mishnayis and Meseches Tainis, right, 23. Matzina Banshe Nineveh, Shlo Nomar Bohem Bayira, Kimet Sakam as Tanisam. It doesn't say that Hashem saw their sackcloth. They are Kimet Maseyim. Their actions, Kishavu Midarka Mara. They really did Shuva. Gemara talks about how far they went. I didn't give you the Gemara, but remember that the source of Takan is Meresh, right? If you steal a board and you build it into a house, right, Takan Drabana, and you don't have to break down the house. You could just pay for the board. But the people in Nineveh didn't rely on that. They broke the house. They returned the board. Unbelievable. People of Nineveh did amazing things. The Yalkut Shimoni and Yonah, right? There's a real tshuva. But if you look in the Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi seems to say it wasn't so great. 25. Vayeshuvu ish midarko ha-ra'ah. Everybody returned to the tshuva from their evil ways, and from the robbery that was in their hands. That the tshuva from the robbery that was in their hands. Ah, only the robbery that was in their hands, not what was hiding in their safe deposit box, says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Masha Yabakaf Yedeyan Echziru, Masha Yabashida Tevo Migdalo Echziru. Machlokas. Whether they did real tshuva or not, okay, we'd rather not say that. Did they do tshuva? Did they do? Maybe you could put it all together. It was a tshuva, a real heartfelt tshuva. It just wasn't complete. But every little bit counts. There's a big sugya in the Gemara. In Yuma, about Chatzi Shir. Whether there's Chatzi Shir, we pass an Asur Minat Torah, Rabbi Yochanan. Even a half a Gezayis. Half of this. What about it by mitzvahs? Is there Chatzi Shir by mitzvahs? That's a big discussion in the Achronim. Many assume not. If you eat it, if you only have a half a Gezayis of matzah, is it worth it? Is it meaningful? So many say no. There's one mitzvah that is Chatzi Shir. The Mabit, 28. This Chatzi Shir by Tshuva. Chatzi Shir by Tshuva, every little bit. The Mabit, he's a contemporary of the Beis Yosef. He wrote the Kiryat Sefer on the Rambam. Says the Mabit, source 28. Einam kishar ha-mitzvah she'oseh chelek ha-mitzvah ein lo chelek schar ha-mitzvah. No. Ha-tshuva gam yena shleima. Ha-tshuva teichar ha-chadu l'sh'ofer. Vaziv ha-zachay lo'asid. Him kol zeh ha-charat ha-levad. Even a little bit. Even if you end up doing the same things after you did tshuva, that doesn't last. Every little bit is okay. Hashem appreciates that. Hashem appreciates it. The process itself. I mentioned to my shir today, something I heard in the car on the way here this morning, but again, this is the message that this Rav was mentioning it by. In Singapore, there's a very low instance of COVID. Very low. Because nobody's traveling. It's an enclosed country. But they're going crazy because most of them are like travelers. They travel back and forth outside the country. So what's Singapore Airlines doing? They're having trips to nowhere. You could have the whole experience. You could give in your bags and go to the gate and go on the plane and fly around for 2 hours and then land in the same spot. And people are paying for it because it's still a thrill. And they're even giving you hotel rooms when you land. And it's like, oh, people are paying for it. It's unbelievable. What's the pshat? The pshat is sometimes it's worth it even if you end up in the same spot afterwards. The process itself gives you something. Even if you do a little bit of tshuva, you're on a high for a week. Right? You don't eat pas akum for 10 days. The Shulchan Aruch discusses. That's already something. You end up in the same spot. That was Anshei Ninveh. Yes, like the Babli says, it was true. The Yerushalmi, it wasn't full. But it was still something that was crucial. A number of years ago, I remember I was talking to Reb Moshe Tzvi Weinberg. Some of you know him. So he said over this, I don't know anything about Kabbalistic and B'nai Yisachars. So I see he mentioned this from the in Source 26. Remember the Hey Hey Bav Yud we had? So this is the Pasuk, right? It's the Sofei Tevos of the first four words of the Pasuk. Utztaka Tzia Lanu Ki. Righteousness will be for us because. Why will we get righteousness? Ki Nishmar Lasos is called Mitzvah Azos. Because we'll keep all the mitzvos. So he says, why is so? Hashem is going to be good for us. We're going to get all these great things so we keep the mitzvahs. Why is the remez of Hey Hey Vav Yud on the first four letters of the words of the Pasuk? We'll have righteousness because. That's not the Iker part of the Pasuk. We're going to keep all the mitzvahs. It's to emphasize to us that Elo, the month of Tshuva, Hashem will take anything. He doesn't need you to do all the mitzvahs. You'll have righteousness because. Because why? Because. Sometimes parents say that. Because Hashem loves us. And even if you don't do all the mitzvahs, you don't get to the second half of the pasuk. That's Elul. That's tshuva. Every little bit. That's the message of the tshuva of Anshei Ninveh. Rav Kook writes in the Hagdama to Orot HaTshuva, which many have read this time of year, tshuva is the easiest mitzvah and the hardest mitzvah. It's so hard. I obviously know it's so hard. It's hard. Rav Yisrael Salanter, it's harder to perfect one mida than to learn all of Shas. It's hard to do tshuva, but it's also so easy. Because any little bit, Hashem loves. Any little bit. I'm going to have kavana in the first line of benching. All right? I'm going to practice no lashon hara from it. I'm going to be nicer. I'm going to call my parent. Any little thing. That's the tshuva of Ninveh. That's the tshuva of Ninveh. And maybe Rav Palm writes, maybe that's why Yom Kippur is not only called Tevila, but Zerika. Tevila is all-encompassing. Surrounded by the mikvah. Zerika is a little bit. Little bit on you. And that has an effect. Even just a little bit. So we have the tshuva of Yonah coming back to who we really are. Anshei Ninveh, every little bit counts. There's one other tshuva in the book. Who else did tshuva in the book? Let's go back to the story. The sailors. So what happened? The pasuk says, again, you don't have it in front of you. The pasuk says there was this big storm. Vayiru ha-malachin, the sailors were scared. Vayizaku ish el Elohav. The Medrash says on that pasuk, there were 70 sailors. They each believed in another god. They all believed in another god. Ish el Elohav. Look, turn the page. Rashi 31 quotes it. Ish el Elohav, min shivim umos shel akam ha-yusham. Every nation with every god. Vayizaku ish el Elohav. And they started throwing out Kalim, but Yonah was down there, and finally the captain says, Malach HaNerdam, call to your God. And they had Gorolos, and they find out, where you're from, Ivri Anochi, and Vayira Anashim, Yira Gedola. Something just changed. Originally it was Vayiru, they feared. All of a sudden they hear, Yonah's the one, and he's from Hashem, Yira Gedola. Vayomer La Mazos Asisa, what are you doing? He says, don't worry, throw me over. We're not throwing you over. Throw me over. We're not throwing you over. He's like, you want to live? Throw me over. They're like, okay. So they throw him over. But if you look in the Medrash, they didn't just throw him over. It's unbelievable. In the Perek Yedivel Hazar, they take him, they throw him, one arm goes into the water. The storm stops. They bring him back in. The storm starts in. They throw him in up to his waist. The storm stops. They bring him back. No, it starts back and forth. They see it. Hitiluat Savaro, Amad Yam. They bring him back. It starts again. Finally, they said, okay. They threw him in. And what happens right after they throw him in? And everything is calm? Vayiru Hanashim Yira Gedola Es Hashem. Vayizbechu Zevach Lashem. Vayidru Nidarim. Karbanos. Karbanos. Right, the Medrash says, they went to Yerushalayim. They brought Karbanos. This is a third tshuva in the book. Not just Yonah, not just Anshe Ninveh, the Malachim. But what was this tshuva from? Rav Soloveitchik writes that this was tshuva from Avodah Zarah. Right at the beginning, they were calling to all their gods. And they left. They brought Karbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we might think, okay, this has nothing to do with me. I learned the Gemara. The Anshe Kodesh HaGadola killed the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. I'm good. I don't need this tshuva. I've never violated Avodah Zarah in my life. Right? No more shaitels. Right? Related. And, you know, where else am I going to get Avodah Zarah from? Says, that's a joke. The Rav Soloveitchik said that there's Avodah Zarah and there's Avodah Zarah. There's Avodah Zarah, little psalim, little things that you bow down to. But Avodah Zarah is also, if my life is not God-centric, if anything in my life is not surrounded and centered around HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a type of Avodah Zarah. There are so many mitzvos that are all about reminding us that Hashem is the center of our life. Shabbos, Shemitah. How about brachos? The Rambam writes at the beginning of Hilchos Brachos that the Rabbanim were misaking brachos, so we talk to God all day. Imagine a life without brachos. Imagine a life without... When would you talk to Hashem? And imagine a life without the Rabbanim telling you to make brachos. Most of tefillah is the Rabbanim besides Shemona Esrei. Maybe. Right. That's all to remind us. The Rav writes, you have it there in the bottom. Man may be great, but if we forget even for a fraction of a second that he's also very small, we commit the sin of idolatry. The world would be rehabilitated and redeemed only when man has adopted, with regard to himself, a dual value judgment. Looks at himself not only with admiration, but with suspicion. Shabbos, staka. Everything is about remembering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So many mitzvahs that we have about reminding HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem is in charge. Those who were in Mashiach last year, maybe some of you did it last year, did a Radvaz and Ilchas Sanhedrin. You're not allowed to self-incriminate yourself. Ein adam meisam asmo rasha. Why? Just like you're not allowed to wound yourself. You go to Beis Din Hayah, hey, Treif, whip me. You're not allowed to do that. Because your body is not yours. It belongs to Hashem. It's on loan. Right? Hashem has this... Right? Needs to be in the center of our lives. That's the tshuva of the sailors. A realignment of values. A realignment of avodas Hashem. Because there's only two ways. Avodas Hashem or avodas zara. Right? What's crucial and definitional in our life? What's the center? What does our life revolve around? It has to be around the Kodesh Baruch Hu, no matter what we do. So again, it's challenging. As I said this, I really feel it, that, again, I you really hope to believe it, and you will to believe it, that this year that we've been living in, obviously Kodesh Baruch Hu is in charge, and Kodesh Baruch Hu is running the world. But there's never been a time period, I think, in all of history that the entire world realizes that they're not in charge. Most of the world believes in God. Right? But even the atheists in the world, who they call themselves atheists, realize that they're not in charge. They might think, nobody's in charge. But they realize that they're not in charge. So, L'chora, hopefully, Be'ezus Hashem, we daven that this is a step. The step that the Nevi'im say that ultimately everybody will realize that Hashem is in charge. The first step is for everybody to realize that they are not in charge. The whole world realizes that. Nobody has any idea what to do. Every country has different instructions. Within every country, everybody argues about what to do. So nobody knows. Nobody knows. But we know. So we daven that, you know, it's a little easier, even though we're more torrid and we're more, but a little easier this year to come to do tshuva of this number three. Realize we're not in the center. We just have to try to put HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the center. With all the challenges of feeling, you know, helpless. But that's the third tshuva of the Malachim. Just to close, maybe we could get back now to the 3 days of the Radak that we started off with. Remember the Radak had 3 days. Why is Yonah in Tanakh? Number one, a whole nation did tshuva. Right, that was Pshat. That was the Anshei Nineveh. Number two, all the Nisim that Hashem did for Yonah. Because Yonah realized who he had to be. And Hashem helped him with that. What did number three, what did the Radak say? He didn't mention an Am. He said that Hashem listens to tshuva even from a Rabin, even if they're not Jewish. That might be referring to the Malachim, the sailors. So all three tshuvas that we've discussed from Sefer Yonah might be alluded to in the Radak. So again, our message is, again, we could analyze each of these at more length, but we're not going to. Number one is to uncover and realize who we really are. Just to mention one line. There's a great line that Michelangelo was a famous sculptor. So he did this famous sculpture of David HaMelech. So they once asked him, how'd you do that? How'd you took this huge rock and you sculpted David? He says, it wasn't so hard. David was there. I just had to like chisel off the cover. He saw David, and then he chiseled out what was on the outside. What's in us is in us. We just have to chisel off. We have to be somebody who we're not. We have to just chisel who we are. Chisel away the coverings, those layers of onion. We realize how many layers there are. We just got to keep going under until we get to the essence. Number two, we have to recognize Nineveh, even a little bit. Even a little bit. Shem wants baby steps. And number three, we have to recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu has to be the center of our life. Again, it's more challenging this year, obviously, for everybody in the world, and even for you that you get to learn all day, Baruch Hashem, but it's obviously a different year. You know, I feel it. I wish I could, like, have you in Beit Shemesh and we could be more Hamish than we could be. As Hashem, we daven for some time this year that Hashem will help us be able to have that reality. But until that time, we recognize that Hashem is interested in every little step that we could do. And Be'ez Hashem, we should be zochet to do all the tshuvas and get the messages of Yonah, and all be zochet to an amazing, amazing Tavshin Pei Aleph, amazing year. This is only the fifth day of the year, but let's make it a great one. Okay, we'll stop here. You're good? You heard? Can you add a little bit?
Thank you very much.
Okay. If you missed any, we'll record it.